Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:13-16. He goes on, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. James 5:19-20. I watched a clip this morning of a young woman in her early 20s who was pulled over by a patrolman, and his body cam footage showed the sum of where we are today as a nation and as a people by the raising of our youth, and by the allowance of what we have let influence them, and by the breakdown of their being able to, in a moment, deal with reality and the consequences of personal choices. This young woman didn't want to get out of her car to start with. For years now, society has pitted the officer against the public, and today our young people have no respect for the law or for those who have taken the oath to uphold it. This young person, as they told the officer, they were non-binary, meaning they identified as neither female nor male. And then she continued to throw out her tribal identities. After all, we are being broken down into tribes by our skin color, by where we come from, by what we believe, by any number of things. She continued with her mental health issues and a list of labels that would hopefully, in her mind, bring privilege or sympathy and a release from the situation that she was in. She threw out every identity that she apparently held dear to herself, and in the end showed herself to be impaired enough to be arrested for a DUI, and that completed the breakdown that she had displayed. These are our children. Our neighbors' children who have been exposed to the worst that mankind has to offer and have been entertained by darkness. They've been taught lessons that lead to death, and they are no longer just confused, but they are truly lost in the depths of despair. What do you call what is happening today? Is it merely the workings of propaganda, or is there something more sinister and much deeper being thrust upon today's young people? I used to wonder at the statement being made about the church being responsible for the falling away of people from its teachings. Then the church denominations started to separate over the issues of today, and some welcomed a new gospel and taught a different Christ, while some remained faithful as to what is referred to as the remnant, who, although they believed the gospel they had been taught and call upon the Christ of the Bible, they were out of breath. And they themselves have consumed the bread and the wine, Jesus, but find that there was none left of them to share with another. In other words, the faith that they had displayed did not reach out with hope, but they withheld all hope for the needs that they personally had. Speaking of Christ's saving power with someone left the fear of rejection, and rather than shaking the dust off of their shoes and moving on when Christ was rejected, they opted to get into their recliner, take off their shoes, and watch the next event that silently gave them permission to withdraw from the work of the kingdom of God. They themselves lost sight of the power of truth. We talked in CED last Sunday about the timeline of some of the changes within the home, and it was brought up how much family life had changed in the home, and that the changes in conversation that had taken place left one separated from the other. We can't be in every home, and today in most homes there is very little conversation about the things of God, and children are today being brought up in the ways of the world and with the acceptance of what man thinks, and the reliance is falling heavily on what man can provide rather than what the Lord has done. And so today we watch as the stability of the younger generation weakens, and they are filled with a hate and an envy that they don't understand. They seek a way of life that will enslave them to a system that considers them a tool to use to further its own cause. My heart breaks when watching a video like this about the younger generation. This young woman, she fights for death, and she doesn't see that she is merely a stepping stone for her oppressors that will not give 1 second of their time to her voice, nor will they be concerned about her personal plight in this life. Mankind has become a tool for evil, having been sold a bill of goods that is designed to make people believe that what is being done is for their own good, for their safety. And if it doesn't happen to work out, well, we have a way to fix that also, they say. Just look north of the border at the assisted suicide program's expansions, where once it was for only the terminally ill. It is now being encouraged as an option for many other groups that are being told that there's no hope for them, and with dignity they can have control as to when life ends theirs. And they are given no hope for the days ahead, only for the end that is to come. Proverbs 22:3-4 says, "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life." Hope is in Christ and in Him alone. That's the message that we are to be giving, that we are to be shouting from the rooftops, that we are to be proclaiming to the young, sharing with the elderly, reminding our brothers and sisters in Christ when we see them struggling with their sufferings. And it is the foundation of truth and built on one thing, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we are told in Proverbs chapter 1. We are told that wisdom calls out into the streets and invites us in. She asks, "How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge?" Proverbs 1:22. "Those that she calls to have listened to a voice, but it is a voice of folly that she that turns the heart from all that is good and all that is true. Folly herself is a deceiver, luring by her call of life, cloaked in the darkness of death. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding." Proverbs 8:5. In all things and because of all things, we are to come to the Lord in prayer and ask for healing. Healing comes by way of salvation, when the soul is renewed, resurrected, and life breathed back into it. It comes in the form of a physical infirmity that is corrected or removed, and from the release of pain. It comes from the release of mental captivity, from being incapable of making reasonable decisions or using common sense when approached with trouble or difficulty. Healing turns to the Lord for wisdom and guidance. The connections that have been broken in recent generations have left people without hope, and all because the church grew fearful of truth and desired to be one of the cool kids in the culture. We let the fear of rejection overcome us, and we set our priorities, and we inched as close as we dared without exposing ourselves to any pain, but didn't bother to watch as the fall began of reason and the collapse of common sense took place. So busy were we with things that we didn't even notice the cloud of dust arise as reason fell and chaos took its place as ruler of a broken world. All this is to say that if the love of Christ truly resides in you, then there is nothing that will prevent you from speaking of Christ Jesus at every opportunity that presents itself to you. It is to say that we had better wake up to the fact that the lost are being consumed at a rate never before seen, and it may be too late to change the direction of a nation, but it's not too late to change the direction of one who is lost to the things of the world today. Pray. Pray for those who have fallen away, for it would have been better for them if they had never heard the good news. Pray for the healing of those who are sick in heart, who are weak in mind, who have not the strength to turn from evil and seek the Lord. And pray for the captives of the evil one, that the pit, the snare, the trap that they are caught in fails, and their release comes in the name of Jesus Christ. There is hope, and He came that none should perish but have life, and it eternal. That life is not possible any other way but through Christ. That hope is not possible any other way than through Jesus. That healing is not possible any other way than through Christ Jesus. Jesus alone saves. He alone is hope, and he alone will give life to the dead, and that is what you were, or if you don't know him, is what you are today. Envy can be overcome. Hate can be released. Sorrow can be turned into joy, and hopelessness can be turned to hope. The lost can be found, and the dead can be resurrected. We must fight the good fight, and that goes beyond our own salvation to the life of others as they walk this journey. Our greatest weapon against chaos of today is prayer. Talk to your Heavenly Father. For the prayers of a fervent man changes things, and prayer brings hope back into the world. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. Maranatha.